It gets closer. Right now, -6 with a wind chill of -12.
Live 88.5 car crasher Jim Bray reviews automobiles, preferably without deploying airbags. And you can find reviews at live885.com. Click on the startup engine, fittingly enough, in order to do that. And a couple of automobiles to tell you about this morning. Jim's on the line. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing okay over here.
Well, that's good.
How do you like the Acura TL? Do you still have it?
No, I don't have it anymore. I gave it back about a week ago. I like it a lot. It is probably my second favorite Acura. It was really neat because I got to have it a week after I had spent some time with the new Acura TSX, which is basically the same car, but a little smaller, a little bit down market.
Right.
And, it was really kind of cool. Now, the new TL, I mean, it's a really nice car. It is, my goodness, it is so ugly. I don't know what it is about Honda designers in the last couple of years, but I have a funny feeling they've either fired them or, I don't know, they're on something or something. But, the TL has never been a real looker, but it has been a worse brand than this one. It's just horrid looking. However, you don't see that when you're in the car, when you're driving the car, and right. It is a really nice car. I had the new top-of-the-line version, which was nice, $50,009.35.
Wow.
That's the TL sedan SHAWD, which means super handling all-wheel drive.
Oh.
And I also had the 6-speed manual transmission and the technology package. So this thing, it had everything, let's face it. It was 305 horsepower from this 3.7-liter V6. Which, as opposed to about 280 horsepower from the TSX V6 I had before that.
Right.
So anyway, the TL is a little bit bigger. The all-wheel drive is nice in this case because when you're getting the horsepower up in the 280, 300 horsepower range with front-wheel drive, you have a real problem with torque steer.
Okay.
And this super handling all-wheel drive does help that a lot, as well as it helps you when you're cornering, too. It sends torque to the outside rear wheel when you're cornering and makes it go a little bit faster, which helps you in cornering. And it actually works pretty well. There's a neat little readout on the dashboard that you can, assuming you can take your eyes off the road while you're in the middle of a curve, you can watch it at work.
And what did you think of the entertainment system in the Acura TL?
Well, the TL, as with the TSX, the technology package gives you a really great audio system. It's their ELS surround system, which plays DVD audio discs and just about everything. I mean, DTS discs, CDs, MP3s, has the USB and all that stuff. It just sounds great. Lots of power. Most of the Acuras has this available, and I really like it. It's really one of my favorite audio systems. The problem with a lot of the newer Hondas, or not a lot of them, but some of the higher-end ones, like the Accord, and you go up into the Acura, starting with the TSX, going up to the TL, then to the NDX above that, is that they have so many buttons on the center stack to operate all the stuff, plus they have one of these cursor control knob devices so you can navigate things with the LCD screen that's up near the windshield, and it's just so complicated. Now they also give you voice recognition to help you. You can use voice recognition, you can use the cursor control system, or you can use the buttons. And sometimes it almost takes you a combination of all three. And I'm not really that big a fan on their voice recognition, so it's just they're just getting too complicated. Honda used to advertise, we make it simple, and some of their vehicles they still do. The Fit, the CRV, the Civic. They're really straightforward, very nice vehicles with minimal buttons, sort of like the way Volkswagen does it now. These Acuras, they're beautiful, they work well, but my goodness, you need to have the owner's manual on your lap when you're driving along.
Wow!
That can't be good, yeah. It's Jim Bray, our Live 88.5 car crasher on this morning. You can go to live885.com and find a link to Jim. And what about the other vehicle you got a chance to spend time in, the Lincoln MKT? What is that?
I still have that, and it's the Lincoln version of the Ford Flex. It's a large SUV, three rows of seating, and, again, like the TL, the exterior styling, I think, leaves something to be desired. It looks kind of like a gigantic clothes iron on wheels, kind of a pointed front.
Is it
a big handle on the roof.
Is it as flat as the Ford version, the Flex?
No, No, it's not quite. No, how could it be? Nothing like that. But it's actually a very nice vehicle. Again, once you get inside, you don't see that. And it's not that it's ugly. I just think it's a little bit bland.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder anyway. But it's really a nice vehicle. Again, it came with Ford's EcoBoost engine system, which is their new twin-turbo V6. Which I had in the Taurus SHO a few weeks ago.
Right.
In this case, it puts out 267 horsepower at 4,250 RPM, and that is plenty. Not quite as much as the SHO had, I don't think.
Mm.
But anyway, it doesn't really matter. I mean, this is a big vehicle. Three rows of seats, two of which are actually usable. The third row is suitable for kids.
Yeah.
But we went a highway trip yesterday with six adults. In it, and well, five adults and me, and the people in the back were not happy about it, and I actually got one of them to drive, and I sat in the back for about 15-20 minutes, and I wasn't very happy about it either. I'm about 5'7 on a good day, and I had not enough headroom. My head was hitting the roof.
Yikes.
You know, it went over a bump, and that was it. Your spine is having serious issues.
I thought you were going to say leg room, but it's headroom, really.
I don't usually have a problem with legroom. I find that I usually have to move my seat quite far forward, and you know, sometimes get an obus or something behind me. But no, it's headroom there that's really bad.
Wow.
The legroom isn't bad. I mean, there's not a lot of foot room underneath the middle seat. But again, you know, if you've got smaller kids, it would be just fine. But yeah, for adults, no, not really.
Okay.
But again, it's a wonderful vehicle. I got the horsepower wrong on that too. I was looking at the regular V6. The EcoBoost is 350 horsepower.
Wow.
So and you know, it's plenty. You step on the gas in this thing, and you're gone.
I bet.
Coupled with a 6-speed automatic transmission that has the paddle shifting, and we were doing some twisty roads through the foothills, and it's really nice to have manual control and something like that, so you can downshift going into curves.
Right.
And it did a really nice job. Huge, huge sunroof, double sunroof on the top of this thing.
Right.
It does not slide open, but it does pop up.
Hmm.
And it's a really nice vehicle. And this thing has an automatic parking feature.
Hmm.
I could not believe this. It parallel parks itself.
Really?
So I've spent the last week saying, hey, come here, get in this car, come on, let's take a look at this. I've got to show you this. It works really well. You you pull up next to the car that's behind the parking space you want to go in. You press this button on the center console, and it says, okay, it's activated, and you drive forward, and it goes, I forget the exact word it uses, but it's basically looking around, sniffing out the parking space. And then when you get up to the car that's in front of the space, it says, space found, drive forward. You drive forward a little bit, it says, okay, stop, put it in reverse, take your hands off the wheel. You do that, and then from then on, you operate the gas, you operate the brake, and you operate the transmission, but the vehicle itself operates the steering, and it works beautifully. It put it into reasonably tight parking spaces, and it came closer to the vehicle in front in sliding into the parking space than I would have done.
Wow.
It worked beautifully. I was amazed.
Cool.
And is it fast at this, or does it agonizingly slow?
No, it parks faster than a lot of people I've watched parking. It's it works beautifully. It's one less reason to learn how to drive, I guess. A lot of people don't like parallel parking, but the size of this vehicle with the three rows, I mean, you know, it's about the size of a small town. And in that case, having this park assist is really handy because, you know, it can be pretty intimidating parallel parking something this big.
Yeah. So what does that thing go for with all this technology in it?
Well, the all-wheel drive version with the EcoBoost engine starts at $53,350. That's about $4,000 more than the basic V6, which is the one that's only 268 horsepower.
Wow.
You could obviously option it up from there, but considering what you're getting just at the base, $53,000, that's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. That sounds cool. It's Jim Bray, our Live 88.5 Car Crasher, the Live 88.5 startup. And Jim, we always end with a tip. What do you have for a tip for us today?
Well, since it's still winter, I was thinking a couple more winter driving tips. If you do get stuck, I got stuck in one of my vehicles, in my personal vehicle about a month or so ago, and ended up having to to get the Automotive Association to come and pull me out. Right. Well, actually, I phoned them up, and they were supposed to come and pick me up, but they said that it was going to be about 3 days before they could get me. Fortunately,
wow.
Fortunately, I have neighbors I haven't annoyed too much.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the things you should do is make sure that your tailpipe isn't blocked. You know, when your vehicle gets stuck. If it does, then fumes can be getting in the car, and the next thing you know, you could be dying from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Good idea.
Also, to get out, the first thing you should do, if your car has traction control, turn off the traction control. Traction control is designed to stop your wheels from spinning, and what you want to do when you're stuck is, I mean, you don't want your wheels to spin a lot, you're just going to turn the snow to ice underneath, but you do want them to spin a little bit because you need to get the vehicle moving. You want to be able to rock back and forth.
Right.
If your car... you know, we'll let you do that. Now, before you rock your car back and forth, check any owner's manual. Make sure they don't say, do not rock your car back and forth.
Right.
Also, before you start moving, turn your steering wheel all the way to the left, all your way to the right again, just to move the snow. It opens up a little bit of a path ahead. And then ease on the gas. You know, don't tromp on the gas. Just ease on. As with normal winter driving, normal winter stopping, what you want to do is to be very, very easy on the gas and on the brake. You know, exaggerate your normal habits.
Hmm.
And if that doesn't work, if you got a cell phone, then, call up a pizza company and get them to deliver your
while you're waiting. Very good. Thanks for all of that, Jim. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good. You take care.
Jim Bray, our Live 88.5 Car Crasher, reviews automobiles, and you can find those reviews at live88.5.com.
Yeah.
Click on the startup engine and basically makes car shopping... pretty good, you know? You just get to find out a lot about the cars before you go out and have a look at them. And at 8:24, it's Live at 8:05 traffic now.
Ottawa police are...